Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight, and I just want to thank you. I said this earlier in the meeting, and I just want to thank you for putting God first, because any time that we put God first, God will put us first, and that is for sure, because you made a decision to come tonight, and we appreciate that. You could have gone some other place, but you came here, and we just thank and we just so appreciate that. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. And as we do, we kind of go ahead and look at what we looked at last month, so that we could go ahead and move into what the Lord would have us for this month. Of course, now last month, Brother Howard shared, because we were just coming back from Mombasa, Kenya, but I shared, I guess, a couple months ago. And so these notes here that I'm going to be sharing will be from a couple months ago, before we went to Kenya, amen? And what I started sharing was on the body of Christ and the critical need, and I'm going to say critical need for spiritual discernment. I just can't stress how critical and just the lack of spiritual discernment in the body of Christ. Spiritual discernment is so needed today, so that we don't get caught and deceived. We were sitting around the table tonight, and we were asking about deception, and the number one reason why people are deceived is because they don't know the truth. Anytime you know the truth, it's impossible. It's impossible to get deceived if you know the truth. And so, you know, when we know the truth, we will not get deceived. And so that's why people just get deceived, because they don't know the truth. And when we have that spiritual discernment that the Holy Spirit provides through us, then we will not be deceived. We will see as God sees. And of course, that is the definition of spiritual discernment, is to see as God sees. Now, there's about 7 points that we're going to quickly look at that will get us into what we will be talking about tonight. Amen? So the first point that we looked at a couple months ago was the body of Christ is not the church. Let me say that again. The body of Christ is not the church. The church is the church, and the body of Christ, there's many churches make up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a living, breathing, you know, group of believers. That is the body of Christ. That is everything. And there's 45,000 denominations out there, and there's all these different churches, and they have all of these things. But the body of Christ is not the church, but we, the body of Christ, is supposed to impact the world. But sadly, that has not been the case, that the world has been impacting the body of Christ. Why? Because of the lack of spiritual discernment. The more we know, the more spiritual discernment we have, the more we will be able to impact the world with the gospel message. Wow. That was worth coming tonight, amen? The second point we saw there was, to know truth, we must also know error. We were up in Grace Church in Sunday school, and this one guy says, you know, all we need to do is read the Bible and just focus on God and just, you know, that's it. And well, that's not true, because the more spiritual authority, the more spiritual discernment we have, the more we know truth, that will also now represent error to us. The more truth we have, the more we'll be able to understand and see error. And then we can move away from that error. We can, you know, move out of the dangers there. So, you know, to know truth, we will also come to know error. The third point that we looked at is we must preach truth. Yes, we must preach truth, and what truth is and what truth is not. So it's one thing to say, yes, we need to go ahead and just say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, that is for sure. But we also must say this is wrong, that is wrong, and we need to stay away from this. So we must preach the truth, and we must preach what truth is not, in love. That's the key, in love. Paul tells us to preach the truth in love, so that they may grow up into him in all things. Who has Ephesians 4:15?
I do.
Amen. Okay, Greg. Ephesians 4:15.
As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine.
Yes.
By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking to the truth in love, we are to grow up in all the aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ.
Amen. Amen. That we are to go ahead and speak the truth in love. In love. So that we can hurt someone's feelings, so that we can make somebody feel bad? No. We speak the truth in love so that they may grow up into Christ in all things. Wow. That's why there's a lot of Christians in church don't know the truth, because no one really speaks the truth to them, and they don't grow up into Him, believe it or not. And so that is a big problem that we see in a lot of churches. But we're supposed to tell people that they need this, or they need to change, and they need to, you know, move into this area and move in that area. And that's not judging now, that's spiritual discernment, so that they may grow up into all things. Another point that we looked at is spiritual discernment helps us separate light from darkness. So the more spiritual discernment we have, the more we'll be able to see darkness. We'll be able to see things that are of the light. And we'll be able to separate those two things. We'll be able to separate light from darkness. Who has Romans 13 and 12? Romans 13 and 12.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light.
Amen. Let us cast off darkness so that we can put on the armor of light. So the first thing we cast off is darkness. We have to cast off darkness so that we can put on light. If we do not cast off darkness, then we'll never be able to put on the light. So we must cast that off. It's up to us to cast off that darkness. So it's a casting off so that we can put on. If we never cast off darkness, then we'll never be able to put on the armor of light. That's the condition for being able to walk into the truth of the light of the Lord, is when we cast off that darkness. Amen? Yes. Point number five is, and now we were looking at judging versus spiritual discernment. And again, spiritual discernment is seeing as God sees. So to judge one, we must be in authority to judge, as we saw, and we must do it from a non-biased heart condition. And the example I gave when I shared this, when I was in the Navy, I was a commander in the Navy, and I had significant authority and power. And I had the ability, and I was authorized, to judge people. I could bring people to captain's mass, it was called, and I could, you know, I could judge them. I could find guilty or not guilty. Ted, you're the same thing. You could hold, you know, NJP, and you could punish them and so forth and so on. To judge someone, you have to be in their chain of command. You have to be in authority over them, and also you have to have the right heart condition to judge somebody. Because most times we judge people out of our own heart. And we're going to look at that a little later, that we judge people out of our own heart. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be. Another point, but we most often, yeah, as I said, we judge people, we judge situations, and we judge things in our life out of our own heart, the way that we see that. And that's not the way it's supposed to be done. We need to take heed here, because we're supposed to have that non-biased heart condition so that we could judge as God would judge. Point number seven is, we have never been given the right to decide what is truth nor what is right and wrong for ourselves, because the Bible gives us that. Wow. We have never been given the right by God to decide what is truth nor what is right and wrong, because the Bible tells us that. And the last point that we looked at, and this is critical, as created by God as moral agents, we all are accountable to God. And that would be a great place to say amen. We're all accountable to God. Thus, we are all accountable to the truth. We are all accountable to truth because we are all accountable to God. Wow. Okay, so those were some points that we looked at a couple of months ago, and now we're going to go ahead and get into the the teaching for tonight, and you have the notes out there. And we're still going to be looking at judging and discernment. And as I said, you know, we must see that we are accountable to God so that we can understand, believe it or not, Matthew 1 through 6. So we must see that we're all accountable to God, and then we're accountable to that truth. Then we can understand Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Sweetheart, you have that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Amen. Amen. So in verse 5 there, Jesus was talking, when he called people hypocrites, he was not talking to the disciples, or he wasn't talking to the common folks. He was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He was talking to the religious people that were hypocrites. And so that is a very, very fine point that a lot of people miss. Amen?
Yeah.
But once we see that we are moral creatures who function in the reality of right and wrong, it points us to the truth about Jesus is saying in Matthew 7. He is not saying that it is wrong to say that wrong is wrong. Neither is he saying that it is wrong to say that right is right. Read the Gospels and read the epistles. Does it sound as if Jesus was hesitant to tell the truth about right and wrong and people's actions and even in their hearts? No. Neither was Apostle Paul hesitant. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And the more spiritual discernment that we have, the more we will see that right is right and wrong is wrong. And if you don't understand that right is right and wrong is wrong, then you lack that spiritual discernment. And to say so is nothing more than telling the truth. If we miss this point, God cannot use us. If we do not understand that right is wrong, if we understand that right is right and wrong is wrong, if we do not understand that, then believe it or not, God cannot use us. We must understand that right is right and wrong is wrong, and that we're all accountable to God. We're all accountable to God. Now you think, well, I understand that. Well, I will tell you, most Christians do not understand that right is right and wrong is wrong. Most Christians have that little gray area where they kind of wiggle around and they try to move inside that. Well, I will tell you, that's wrong, and God can't use those type of people. The fact is, the closer we get to God, the more sensitive we're going to be to right and wrong. Let me say that again. The closer we get to God, the more sensitive we're going to be to right and wrong, and the more we're going to see the truth. We're going to see the truth about God, but most importantly, about ourselves and about everything and everyone else to a greater degree. God is light, and the light exposes everything for exactly what it is. Wow. God is light, and he exposes everything for the way it is. The idea that the closer we get to God, the more gray things will become, and a lot of people say that. There's a lot of religions that say that. The closer we get to God, there's going to be all these questions and, you don't know what. No, that's not true. The closer we get to God, the more it's black and white. Right is right and wrong is wrong. The closer we get to God, that's just the way it is. The truth is, the closer we get to God, the more revelation we will get from God. The closer you get from God, the more revelation you will get from God. And then you'll be able to do what? Guess what? See as God sees. Wow. the attitude that there is no such thing as right and wrong, and that true Christian love will more and more take us into a more gray area, and this is being taught in many, many denominations, is satanic to the core. That's right, I said satanic. It is exactly that. People who deny the necessities of right and wrong and of absolute truth usually have one thing in common. They have refused these things from God for themselves. Wow. What I say I believe about these things is usually the result of what I have received from God about these things. And it comes down to that in the end. To the extent that I am walking in the light, I will acknowledge the light. Let's say that again. To the extent that I am walking in the light, I will acknowledge the light. It is a law of our nature. So if we are walking in the light, then we have recognized the light as truth. Now the opposite is true. If we're not walking in the light, then we have not recognized Christ as the truth. If we're not walking in truth, Christ is the truth. So if we're not walking in the truth, then we have not recognized Christ as the truth. But when we walk in the light, then we have recognized Christ as the truth, and then, wow, then we're walking in the truth. This tells us much about the meaning that Jesus was conveying about judging. Now, Jesus was not forbidding us from telling the difference between right and wrong and saying so. No, in fact, Jesus would want us to do that. He would want us to discern good from evil, right from wrong, and truth from error. There's exhortations all throughout the Bible to do this. Herein we see the definition of spiritual discernment. It means to see something exactly the way it is. So spiritual discernment is seeing something the way it exactly is, the way that God sees it. Because we know Jesus, we know Jesus Christ, we cannot discern anything in the right attitude unless we know Him. Wow. So to spiritually discern correctly, now I hope you're taking notes, we must know Jesus Christ. I'll let that sink in. To use that spiritual discernment that God wants to give us so we don't get caught up in other people's messes. So we know the truth. So we're not deceived. So we're not taken advantage of. So we know that this area is wrong and we turn our back from it. Anytime we move in spiritual discernment, there's always a separation. There's always a looking at a situation and go, oh my gosh, that is ungodly. That is unholy. That is unscriptural. So now I'm going to separate myself from that. You know, there's some places you can't go and be a Christian. Amen. There's some people you can't hang around and be a Christian.
Right.
And that's right. You have to separate yourself from them. Because if you don't, then you get caught up in their mess.
Right.
And anytime there is a separation from unholiness and ungodliness, then that is of the Lord. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to go hang out in the bar and I'm going to preach the gospel in the bar. Those kind of people, they are not walking in the light. And what happens, they usually get caught up. The next thing you know, they're over in drunkenness and stuff like this. You know, it's just, you know, you just got to separate yourself from some places. And I'm not saying don't go to the bar, but I'm just saying, you know, you just got to be careful and use that spiritual discernment so that you don't get caught up in a lot of messes that can happen. Amen? To spiritually discern correctly, we must know Jesus Christ. And you know, this is why many Christians have no spiritual discernment, believe it or not, because they know not Christ.
Right.
They know the church, they know people, but they do not know Christ. They go to church, they do all the church activities, and they know the pastor and all the people, but they have no spiritual discernment because they do not know Christ. It is important to know error unless we know the truth. we could have nothing to use as a standard. It is important to know what is of the truth unless we know the truth himself. It's impossible to know what is truth unless you know Jesus Christ. Who is the truth? Who has John 14 and 6?
Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Amen. So how can you know truth if you don't know Jesus Christ? Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. So for us to be able to know the truth about anything, we first have to know Jesus Christ. For this we see that spiritual discernment does not, as does all else in the Christian life, comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the outcome of knowing him. All things in our walk with the Lord, everything that we do with our walk with the Lord, comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Most Christians, they call themselves Christians, they go to church, but they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. They know nothing of Christ. They know all the songs, they pay their tithes, they do all of those church activities, but they never come into a personal knowledge, a personal understanding of Jesus Christ. And they're just going through the motions. And so that's why their lives oftentimes are just a mess. How can we know truth if we do not know Christ? Wow. That's why people are deceived. It's because they do not know Christ and then they get deceived. This doesn't mean that we're not going to use our brains to figure out right and wrong about Christ. Sure we can. But not only is discernment the ability to know truth from error and right from wrong, but it also to have God's attitude in the spiritual discernment. Now I'm going to start talking about some deeper things here. Thus, when I see wrong, I always call it wrong. Anytime you see something wrong, you need to call it wrong, and you need to call that out. I always call it wrong, but I don't use this information to exalt myself or to put others down. They may be dead wrong, but we must never compromise with that fact. But we must not become even more wrong by condemning them for it. If you want to judge, you are not ready. Amen? And we're looking at judging versus spiritual discernment. Many people want to judge. Well, if you have the heart, if you want to judge, if you want to be a judge, I will tell you, you are not ready. That's like if you think you're ready to travel and preach the gospel around the world, if you think you're ready, you're not. It's the person that says, "No, I don't want to judge. No, I don't want to do that." That's the person that's ready to judge. Or, I really don't want to, travel and teach, do all this stuff. That's the person I want to take with me. I don't want to go, but I feel the Lord wants me to go. That's the person, I want to go. When I retired from the Navy in 2000, it was in Germany, and every Saturday, Greg, I would get up early in the morning and go down to a town called Zuffenhausen, was at the bottom of Robinson Barracks where we lived. And I would buy flowers for that lady right over there. Every Saturday that I was in town, I would go down to Zuffenhausen to this open-air German market, and I would talk to Nikolai, and he was the bloom man. He was a bloom man, it's a flower man. And he taught me about flowers for 3 years. And I learned a lot about flowers. If you hold flowers too tight, you crush them. You got to hold them a certain way, and just, over... through this little relationship that I had with him, and then the egg lady, I just made some really great relationships, and I learned so much about being soft and about being tender, because I wasn't a soft man. I wasn't a tender man. I was a hard man. I was a strong man. I was a man of authority. I was a man, and when I spoke, people jumped, and if they didn't, the next time I spoke, they jumped. But God wanted me to go and teach and do things of the Spirit. And so for that to happen, God had to take me to the school of the Spirit in Zuffenhausen with Nikolai and the Egg Lady, and they taught me about being gentle, and they taught me about being soft. So for that 3 years, God was preparing me for my retirement so that when I go, I could go as a soft, gentle, spiritual man. It was just an amazing process. And to this day, believe it or not, the last thing we buy at the commissary, Ted, is a pack of flowers. And amen?
Yes.
Amen. We buy a pack of flowers. And so, I mean, that was just a tremendous lesson in my life that I will never forget. David said that thy gentleness has made me great. I think that's one of the greatest lacking qualities of men today is gentleness. There's not much gentleness in men. And so not that we need to be not a warrior. We need to be a warrior, but there needs to be a side of gentleness in men. Amen?
Amen.
Discern or spiritual discernment in the Bible comes from the Greek word that's thank you very much. And it means to distinguish or separate out so as to investigate. Also, the word dikaios is used in a similar meaning, but which can also mean to learn by discriminating. Wow. A similar word is, wow, I'm going to pronounce this really bad. This is the Greek, is dokimazo, which means to test or to prove or to scrutinize so as to decide. And all of these words point to the same thing, to clearly the moral nature of a thing and to be honest about it. To see clearly the moral nature of a thing and to be honest about it. Wow. But there is such a thing as judging, which Jesus tells us never to do. The word that most often translated judge is katakeros, which means to condemn, to pass sentence upon, to pronounce judgment against. Wow. That would not be to pass judgment unless in authority, right? As I said, we have to be in authority to be able to pass judgment, and then we have to have that right heart condition. So when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate was in authority over Jesus, am I right? Yes, he was. Jesus was a Jew, Pontius Pilate was a Roman, he was in authority. But could Pontius Pilate judge Jesus? No, he could not, because he did not have the right heart condition. He had the authority part down, but he did not have the right heart condition to judge Jesus. And so that's why he could not judge him. Now we see a vast difference between discerning good from evil and judging against someone. To spiritually discern is simply to call things what they are. To judge is to decide what people deserve because of it. To discern is to, you know, is to see as God sees. To judge is to play God in the lives of others, in which we should never ever do that. We should never ever want to play God in the lives of others. But should we look at someone's life and make a spiritual discernment about that life?
Sounds like it.
You betcha. You betcha. It is critical that we look at people's lives, that we look at situations, that we look at things moving around us, and for us to maybe even judge that in a way, but spiritually make a discernment about what's moving in that, so that we don't get caught up in that. So that we don't get trapped, so we don't make a mistake, so we don't get stuck in all of that. And we get stuck in all of these messes in our lives. We get stuck in all of the he said, she said problems in church, and this problem, and that problem, and all that garbage, because we do not spiritually discern what is moving in all of these situations. So what we see here is it's quite possible to be right in our discernment, but to use that discernment to pass sentence against someone. This is exactly what it means to judge in the sense that Jesus said we must not do. The problem is that this case is not my facts that is wrong. No, no, no. The problem is my attitude is wrong. Remember, at the heart of every issue of our life, it is always the issue of our heart. At the heart of every issue of our life, it is always the issue of our heart. If I am using myself as the standard by which others are condemned, rather than pray for them, I am using their sin to exalt myself. Wow. And when we judge most people that we judge, and even most people that we spiritually discern, we judge them out of our own heart. We judge them how we like them, or if we don't like them. You know, if it's, you know, the little small things about people that we like, and we go ahead and we say things and we judge them out of our own heart, the way that we like them, and we must be very, very careful here. God wants us to spiritually discern. In fact, if we read the above passage again from Matthew 1 through 6, Jesus tells us to discern by first turning to ourselves and removing the beam from our own eye, right? Wow. We could hardly do this if it were wrong to know the difference between right and wrong, and then say that we can help the other person. Again, something impossible if knowing right from wrong was prohibited. No, we are to spiritually discern, but to do so with a redemptive goal. We are never to judge, never to play God by deciding for God what others deserve, what others deserve. Amen? When we do discern error or sin in others, the first thing God would have us do is turn ourselves to Him. Let me say that again. When we first see error, or when we first see a problem in someone's life, the first thing that we are to do is we are to turn ourselves to Him. Wow. Not necessarily because we are guilty of that sin or that error, but because we dare not become guilty of the sin of judging. He wants us to turn to Him and give ourselves to Him as a vehicle to pray for that person. This doesn't dismiss the sin or the responsibilities to God, but we are taking a redemptive position rather than condemning them. And this is God's will in this situation. Yeah. We miss the mark, or we sin. Remember, sin is to miss the mark, to know right but do wrong. So we miss the mark not because we have sinned, oh no, but we miss the mark because we do not turn ourselves to God in that situation. We do not turn ourselves toward God in that situation. We go ahead and we judge, and then, you know, that's what Jesus told us not to do, but we need to go ahead and turn ourselves to God so that He can use us to be a vehicle to help straighten that out. Who has number 5, and that's number 16 and 4?
Got it right here.
Okay, number 16 and 4.
It looks like the internet's giving us a little extra. So the biblical text describes Moses responding to the rebellion of Korah and his followers.
Yes.
Here it goes. When Moses heard of their grumbling and claimed that the whole community is holy, he fell face down in the sign of humility,
right,
and respect. He then addressed Korah and his followers, stating that the Lord would show who was truly His and holy, and that He would bring that person near Him.
Amen. That's right. Well, this in the 16th chapter of Numbers is where Moses and the 250 elders of Korah rose up against Moses and said, "Now wait a minute, Moses. You know, God speaks to us too. He doesn't just speak to you." And so they rose up in rebellion. And in that 16th chapter, three times in the 16th chapter, Moses falls on his face and worships, the Bible says. Now, true worship is not singing. I'm sorry, Susan. True worship is not singing. A lot of churches, you know, they, we're going to have a praise and worship. No, no. Nowhere in the Bible does worship ever talk about singing. Singing is singing. Worship is worship. They're not the same thing. Not even praise and worship is not the same thing. But anyways, three times in the 16th chapter, Moses falls on his face and he worships. And he intercedes for Korah and the 250 elders because they were in direct rebellion against God's spiritual authority on earth. And the end is always death and destruction. And Moses knew that unless Korah and them changed, that they were going to be destroyed. Who has 16 and 32?
I do.
Okay.
And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods.
Four times they spoke against Moses. Three times Moses fell on his face and interceded for him. The fourth time, God told Moses, separate yourself from them. Moses' spiritual authority knew what was going on. Moses' spiritual discernment knew what was going to happen. He saw the rebellion. He saw all of this. And he knew the end was going to be death and destruction for Korah. Three times he interceded. He turned himself toward God. As I was reading there. The fourth time they rose up against Moses, God said, separate yourself, Moses. He did. And the earth opened up and swallowed him. And that was it. That was all that Korah and the 250 elders received. We must, we miss the mark when we do not turn ourselves toward God so that He can use us as the vehicle to take care of problems. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, the judgment which we judge will be judged. The judgment that we use, we will be judged with. This is true in a way of ways. Now, there's two ways here. First of all, the moment we condemn or pass sentence upon others, we are demanding a sentence that we claim is God's standard. No one is exactly going to admit the standard is their own. But if we actually apply such a standard to others and say it is God's standard, then it must also apply to ourselves. We will be judged by what we believe is that standard. In short, what we say is right and wrong for others unto their condemnation can only be a reflection of what we believe is right and wrong for us. Wow, that's a tremendous statement, but that is true. And secondly, if we judge in a way Jesus prohibits, then we have sinned. And so how can we condemn others for their sin and not condemn ourselves? I'm not saying that any of this is God's judgment. I'm just saying that we are condemned by our own condemnation of others. Who has Matthew 12:34? Susan?
You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything is good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Wow. Our own words judge us when we judge somebody else. Say that again. Our own words judge us by what we're saying, because out of our mouth speaks our heart. If I want to know what type of person you are, all I have to do is let you talk. And you're telling me everything I need to know about you, because out of your mouth speaks your heart. Also, the opposite truth is in effect here. Out of your mouth, that does not come out your mouth, is not in your heart. So if you, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, yeah, never talk about the Lord, never talk about praying, never talk about any things of the Spirit, then probably you're not a Christian. You're just saying that, get along. But I mean, unless you talk about things that are in you and things that you love of God, then that's not you. Amen? There are reasons why we must never play God by deciding for God what someone deserves. One of them is that we cannot fully know the motive of another's heart. People say, well, I can fruit inspect. No, you can't. You do not have the right to fruit inspect.
I've never heard of that one.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, they say, well, you know, if there's fruit hanging on a tree, it's either godly fruit or, well, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, I can fruit. No, you can't. You have no right. You have no right to fruit inspect. You can only judge if you're in authority and if you have the right heart condition. There's no middle ground for fruit inspecting, you know. And one of them is that we cannot fully know the motive of another person's heart. So even though it is acceptable to say what the person did was wrong, right? We spiritually discernment, we can judge that. It is not acceptable to say they deserve such and such because of what they did. Wow. Last point, God knows what he's doing. Amen? God knows what he's doing. And when we pass judgment, we are saying that God does not know what he's doing. So that's why we must be very, very careful and not pass judgment. We can judge so that we ourselves don't get caught up in all of these messes out there. But we should never, ever pass judgment. On situations and people and stuff like that. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings. Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word, Father, Lord God. Help us, Father, Lord, be doers of your word, Father, Lord God, and not just the hearers, Father. Lord, help us not, Father, Lord God, to be a judger, but, Lord, help us to have that spiritual discernment moving in our life, so that we don't get caught up in all of these messes and we don't get deceived and we don't get over into error and all of these things that are out there, Father, Lord. All of these things are out there, Father, Lord, and they're just waiting to get us, Father. And Lord, with your spiritual discernment, we can escape all of that stuff and we can just keep looking at you. And we just thank and we praise you, Father, Lord. And God, Lord, just bless this word, lay it in our hearts, help all of the people that to listen to this again and again, Father, Lord God, so that they too will not get caught up in so many problems there, Father. Lord, we just love you and thank you. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.